And now, a warrior for the Word of God and the Constitution of the United States, a Marine Corps veteran, a Harvard-trained attorney, Bishop of the Called Churches, and founder and president of STAND. Staying true to America's national destiny, the voice of the awakening, your host, Bishop E.W. Jackson.
Welcome, everybody, to another edition of the Awakening Podcast here on American Family Radio. I'm your host, Bishop E.W. Jackson. Happy New Year, everybody, because by the time you hear this the first time, we will be on the cusp of a brand new year. 2026 is on the way. And before the program is over, I want to share with you some of my thoughts about what I think is going to happen in 2026. But I want to do something a little bit different today. You know, normally, of course, I talk about current issues, and I'll touch on some of those. But I want to give you some food for thought about something that the Lord really laid on my heart as we end this year and we are about to launch into a new year. And it was based upon the scripture, Ephesians chapter 5, verses 15 and 16, which says, "See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil." Think about that. Let me read that again. "See then that you walk circumspectly." That word circumspectly, the English word means looking around you. Circum, meaning around, speckly, seeing all around you. "Not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil." I did an interview with Newsmax on Christmas Eve, actually. John Burnett was the interviewer, and he asked me, he said, "Bishop Jackson," he said, "how do you keep your focus on God when all of this turmoil is going on all around you and all of these crazy things are happening in the world that you've got to contend with?" And of course, I only got to give a 1-minute answer on television, but as I thought later about it, was praying about what was I going to preach for the last Sunday and in the last days of the new year, the Lord brought me to this scripture. "The days are evil. Redeem the time." And I got to thinking about what that really means. And first of all, again, let me just expound a little bit on circumspectly. You know, that means we're supposed to look reality smack in the face. I mean, we're supposed to see it for exactly what it is. It's not supposed to live in a fantasy world. We're not supposed to see the world as we wish it were. But we're supposed to see it as it truly is. That means we are, look, folks, it's ugly. And one would rather look away and not see it. The murders, the robberies, the rapes, the carjackings, the home invasions, the human trafficking, the debased and degenerate entertainment, the journalistic hostility to things Christian and to biblical values, the internet and the doors it opens for child predators and pornography and all of this stuff, social media and the way it gets abused, children who are manipulated into suicide because somebody gets a hold of them in social media or some AI program actually encourages them, anti-Semitism. The sexual sin, homosexuality, transgenderism, pedophilia, and the exploitation, the sexual exploitation of children. You all remember that documentary on Nickelodeon, and where this guy ultimately seduced this young boy and abused him for years. There's a backstory to that. You know what the backstory is? That a lot of the people participating and producing the program were injecting all kinds of sexual innuendo into this child's program and laughing because they figured most people are too stupid to see it. Well, the devil really is having a field day. But his time is short. His time is short. The fact of the matter is, you and I can't hide our heads in the sand and pretend that these things are not going on. We can't pretend that the schools are not trying to indoctrinate children. We can't pretend that that there are many in our government who are completely corrupted by Marxism and socialism, and they're really anti-constitutional republicanism. We can't pretend that everything is just great. And just turn on the alphabet networks, ABC and NBC, and they've changed from Marxist Socialist No Brains Channel to just MS something or other. It's still the Marxist Socialists. They're still completely gone. I mean, we can't pretend that these people are actually giving us news when we know what they're really trying to do is manipulate us into thinking the way they think. But you and I are supposed to not only confront this stuff, see it for what it is, but we're supposed to expose it. We're supposed to speak against it. I mean, Jesus said, we are the light of the world. Well, what's the light do? The light comes against darkness, doesn't it? It dispels it. Ephesians 5:11 says, have no fellowship with the unfruitful words of darkness, rather expose them. What do you do when you want to expose something that's in the darkness? What do? You turn on the light. That means we've got to stand in stark contrast to the world. We can't pretend that, well, no, we're just kind of part of the program, and we're just kind of going along to get along, and we don't want to ruffle any feathers. We as believers cannot do that. Did you hear that Governor Sarah Huckabee Sanders put out a proclamation for Christmas recognizing Jesus Christ as the Savior of the world, and the Foundation for Freedom from Religion wrote her a very curt letter demanding that she withdraw the proclamation? And she said, I will do no such thing. And then she went on to explain to them that Jesus Christ is the Savior of the world. And if you would come to your senses, you'd realize he loves you too, and he's your Savior too. I'm paraphrasing, but in effect, she actually reached out to them with the gospel of Jesus Christ in her response. But think about this. Little old Arkansas. The governor issues a proclamation for a federal holiday. Christmas is a federally recognized holiday. The banks are closed. The federal government is closed. It is a federal holiday. She recognizes that holiday for what it truly represents. And here's the Freedom from Religion Foundation. They don't have anything better to do but to try to prove how demonic they are by going after her and saying, you can't do that. Look, you know, there are people, I know, they don't want the hostility of the world coming against them because they stand against it. But I've got news for you folks. The world is already hostile and coming against you if you are a true believer. They're not hostile and coming against you only if you say something or do something. No, they come against you anyway. You can be as quiet as a little church mouse, hiding behind the baseboard. But if your child goes to one of those schools, your child is going to be injected and infected with the same mess. And the fact that you are not trying to stir things up or cause anybody trouble or express your Christian and biblical worldview doesn't mean a hill of beans to them. The devil is still coming after you. because you are its enemy. Don't. Folks, we can't be naive. We are their enemy. That's the spiritual reality that we have to look in the face. James 4:4 says, "Do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Whoever therefore wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God." Now, it doesn't get more stark than that, does it? If you want to be a friend of the world, you make yourself an enemy of God. And of course, being a friend of the world, we're not talking about having friends who are not saved or people that, you know, you maybe associate with in some way because, I don't know, however you might have met them. They may be people from your past before you were saved, maybe people who you've gotten to know, maybe people you're trying to win. No. It's talking about friendship with this system of things. Now, all of you listening to me or watching me right now have relatives and friends who don't like your perspective. Every single one of you does. You know somebody, probably somebodies, who don't like your perspective and don't particularly want to hear it. It's not talking about you making them enemies. It's talking about you standing in stark contrast to the things that are trying to seduce them and attract them and capture them. Because you are the enemy of those things, whether you know it or not, whether you acknowledge it or not, you are the enemy of those things. You just might as well just jump on in the saddle and just have at it because that's where you are spiritually. Spiritually, you are the opposition. The ideas and the principles of the world are in complete rebellion against Almighty God. I was talking to some of my church members about the Super Bowl and how they're going to use this guy, Bad Bunny, who is a cross-dresser and all this. And now, of course, these are my people and they're taught by me, but I'd like to think that they don't need me in order to come to certain obvious conclusions. They were saying, you know, lots of Christians watch football and lots of Christians watch the Super Bowl. Why are they playing only to this degenerate, depraved mindset of wanting to see some man trying to dress like a woman and trying to act like a woman and trying to go back and forth? I mean, why are they catering to that? Because they're your enemy. Because you know what it is? It's in your face. That's what it is. It's in your face. Take this. Take this, you Christians. Take this, you believers in God. Take this, you people who think you're so pure and you're so holy. Take this. Let your children watch this. You are their enemy. And part of walking circumspectly in the world is seeing that for what it is. And knowing that your job as a disciple of Jesus Christ, as a believer, as a Christian, your job is not to try to paper over the difference, fudge the difference, smudge the difference, cloud the difference. Your job is to make the difference so stark and so plain and so clear that nobody can miss it. Glory to God. I'll tell you what, folks, I'm... Woo! That is your job. That is what we're supposed to be doing. 1 Corinthians 14:8 says, "For if the trumpet makes an uncertain sound, who will prepare for the battle?" You're not supposed to be making some little meek, measly, mousy sound. Beep, 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 beep. No. You're supposed to be blowing that trumpet loud. And you know what I mean. I'm not talking about shouting at people. You understand. When I say, I mean clear, stark, unmistakable. That's what God has called us to do. That's part of walking circumspectly, not as fools. Now, let's look at the other side of that coin, because this is the other thing that sadly some believers fall into. And I have to tell you, sometimes I wonder about these people, whether they are truly believers or not, but I'm giving them the benefit of the doubt and believing that they're just in a backslidden condition, or they're just poorly taught and haven't grown, haven't matured, but they're on their way to heaven. They got in by the skin of their teeth. And it is this: the Christians who want to do just that, they want to hide their heads in the sand. They want to make no sound at all because they don't want anybody to get upset with them. They're so caught up in the world. I mean, the Christian, for example, who does not understand that when Roger Goodell makes the decision to put Bad Bunny on as a halftime show, he is directly spitting in your face, in the face of your family. That's not an accident. Look, there are all kinds of entertainers he could pick, and there are many of them. I mean, there are a lot of country, Western singers. There are some gospel and Christian singers who are absolutely magnificent. Or just some who are just doing pop music that's not filthy and prurient and nasty and depraved and gangsterish and all that. But he didn't pick any of those, did he? He picked one of the most depraved entertainers he could find, a cross-dresser, and then said, this is going to be a unifying moment, meaning that, well, everybody would need to get on board and unify with this, I don't know what to call this thing. I don't know what you call it. I don't know whether he's a transgender, a transvestite, I don't know what you call it. I know one thing. He's a reprobate. I'll use the biblical word. He's a reprobate. So he chooses the reprobate, not the righteous. And even if he's not conscious of it, that's a spiritual decision made in opposition to you. And I'm not picking on the Super Bowl. That's just one example. I mean, you could go down the line. To hide your head into sand is to be a Christian fool. Now, boy, that's strong medicine, isn't it? Because how can you be a Christian and be a fool? Very simply, you can be a Christian who acts foolishly. But you side with the fools. And there's a whole bunch of them. Sadly, I say, I don't know whether they're Christians or not. The Lord knows them that are his. I'm going to leave that in the hands of the Lord. If they claim to be Christians, I'm giving them the benefit of the doubt. But the Bible says, not Bishop Jackson calling them fools. The Bible says, walk circumspectly in the world, wise, not as fools. Meaning if you don't walk circumspectly in the world, you are not seeing what is around you and responding appropriately to it. You are a fool. Because if you are wise, you're doing what? You're recognizing the circumstances around you and you are redeeming the time, knowing that the days are evil. Now, the question is, how do we do that? Because, you know, look, there are two mistakes we can make. Two sides, two ditches on the side of this road. You know, there's a ditch to each side that you don't want to fall in. One ditch is to be so preoccupied with this craziness that you become bitter and angry and hateful and mean and argumentative, and on and on and on it goes. Bible says, a root of bitterness can spring up and defile many. You don't want that. See, walking circumspectly with wisdom means I see it for exactly what it is. And I'm going to respond to it according to the word of God. But I'm not going to let that control me. See, I think there are Christians who get, again, people, again, who call themselves Christians, get all caught up in this stuff. And before you know it, man, they're all off into conspiracy theories and all kinds of exotic ideas. And you know, some of them, claim to be Christians, degenerate into anti-Semitism. And you know, everybody, they just get downright weird. You know why? Because they've got their eyes on the problem instead of having their eyes on God. Let me show you something very, very interesting that you may not have ever thought about before. But in Ezekiel chapter 22, verse 30, there's a famous verse, and you know what it says. God says, "So I sought for a man among them who would make a wall and stand in the gap before me on behalf of the land that I should not destroy it." Ezekiel 22, 30. I want you to notice what this actually says. I sought for a man among them who would what? First of all, make a wall. We always focus on the stand in the gap part. But the first thing says, make a wall. A wall of what? A wall between good and evil. A wall between right and wrong. A wall between idolatry and the true worship of the true and living God. A wall between Satan and God. Make a wall. See, part of walking circumspectly in the world is to make a wall, which is, no, this is what is right and this is what is wrong, and I'm standing on the side of right, and I am not compromising. Somebody wrote me a nice letter. I just discovered it recently, but they had written it to me back in November. I've been going through a little bit of a staffing transition, and it just kind of got lost in the shuffle. Because we had an election in Virginia, and I'd said that I'd met with John Reed and I was going to talk to him and give him John Reed was the homosexual who won the lieutenant governor nomination, Republican nomination for lieutenant governor. And some of my Christian friends asked me to meet with him, talk to him, at least give him a hearing. And I promised I would do that. And I did that. And I prayed and tried to open my heart for God to show me maybe something I might be missing. But I became even more convicted and even more convinced the more I prayed about it and studied what the word of God is saying on it. I could not vote for a homosexual. I don't care what the party is. And I don't care what the alternative is. I wasn't going to do it. Because you see, I've made a wall. And I'm not crossing it. Homosexuality is evil. It is societal poison. It is wrong. I don't hate homosexuals. I love them. I pray for them. But the way they live is wrong. And with all due respect to John Reed, of course, he lost and lost badly, but the whole ticket did. To say this is the way I choose to live and I think it's okay is doubly wrong, because now not only are you sinning, but you're proclaiming that your sin is okay, that your sin is right. Now you're in double rebellion against God. It's one thing to sin and say, yeah, I know it's wrong, I'm sinning, but, you know, God forgive me, God help me. That's another thing. And there are people in those circumstances. They're caught up in alcohol, they're caught up in promiscuity, they're caught up in drugs, whatever. Some sins got them. They know they're wrong. And there's a part of them that wants to escape it, but they don't have the strength to do it. They need deliverance from it. But then there are people who want to sin and say, there's nothing wrong with what I'm doing. It wouldn't matter to me whether the person, in terms of voting for a person, whether they thought it was wrong or they thought it was right. If they're doing that, they're living that way, I'm not voting for them. God convicted me. You cannot do that. Now, I know there are Christians who did, but you got to answer to God for yourself. I think it's completely inconsistent with Scripture. See, but I sought for a man to make a wall, a clear distinction, so that we don't have all this wishy-washy nonsense. He says, then stand in the gap before me. Now that's stand in the gap, because there's a difference between that wall and right and the evil that the world wants to live by, the wickedness, the twistedness, the depravity that the world wants to wallow in. There's a gap. And God said a man would build that wall and then stand in that gap before me. Now here's what I want you to see. That word, that phrase before me is a Hebrew word panim. And it really means stand before the face of God. That man who built that wall is not looking at the people. He's not looking at the land he's built the wall around, to follow the metaphor. He's looking at the face of God. Here's how you maintain your Christian equanimity, your Christian fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. When you see people doing things that you know are so off that it just makes you want to almost tear your hair out, this is how you maintain yourself, and you don't do that, and you don't become angry, and you don't become bitter, and you don't become hateful, and you don't become mean, and you don't become argumentative. You do that by keeping your focus on the face of God. You stand before Him. You stand before His panim, His face. See, we circumspectly, that word again means looking around. But when you've looked around and you've seen it for what it is, you know where you land? You land right back at looking at the face of God. You stay focused on Him. You are seeking His face. Because that way, you don't obsess and become captured and controlled by what is wrong. You know, you can become captured and controlled by something that you oppose so much so that it takes over your life. You don't want that. You want your life to be controlled by the Word of God. You want your life to be controlled by the plan, the purpose of Almighty God for your life. Now, God may give you an assignment to stand up against something, no question about it. But it ought to still be based upon your relationship with Him. Well, I know this is advanced Christianity, folks, but this is important. Because, see, Jesus wants us to be at peace. I said, in spite of all the things I've listed out, in spite of all the crazy things that are happening in this world, I don't ever lay down at night and toss and turn. I can't sleep. Oh, do you know what they're doing in the schools? You know what they're doing over here? They're killing the unborn babies, and I can't sleep. No, I don't live like that. I lay down and sleep like a baby. And I wake up and fight like a dog. But I'm a happy warrior. Because I'm looking at the Lord. I'm seeing Him. I'm not seeing all this other stuff. In other words, I'm not constantly focused on all this other stuff that's going on. I'm focused on what God is doing. See, that man built that wall, but his face is in God's face. That man standing in the gap, but his face is in God's face. Now, folks, let me just give you one example of this. And oh, my goodness, I hope all of you see this and receive this, because I'm telling you, folks, I'm going to give you an unvarnished, unadulterated truth with no sugar added. Okay. This is what race has done to some people. You ever hear me say there was a politician, I forget which one it was, he's one of these members of the Black Caucus, said, I get up every morning wondering whether I'm going to be stopped for driving while black. And I quit back, well, you don't need racial justice, you need psychological therapy. You need deliverance. Because you're sick. I've never had that thought a day, not a day of my life, not a moment of my life ever thought that. Ever. Ever. And he says, I wake up every morning. I don't know whether he's lying. But my guess is he probably does because he's obsessed with it. And so what happens? He's created a mythological, non-existent idol called, you ready for this? Quote unquote, the white man. He is all seeing, he is all knowing, and he is all controlling over your life, including following you down the road to stop you because you happen to be black. folks, you have to laugh at this stuff because it is so ridiculous. But that's what happens. Now, this person is probably not a Christian either, but I think this can happen to a Christian when you allow yourself to be seduced and roped into focusing on a particular issue and allow that to take control of your mind, your will, your emotions, your life, and that's all you're obsessing about. That becomes your God. And these idiots think they're fighting, quote unquote, the white man, and what they've really done is turned the white man into an idol. It's like they're bowing at his feet every morning. He doesn't exist. It's a mythological idea, right? Because every human being is different and the color of their skin doesn't matter. But they've concocted in their minds this monster who knows all, sees all, controls all. I've often said, you know, you go to church and you say, God opens doors and no man can close them. And then you go walk right outside and say, well, now, you know, the white man's not going to let you. Well, now, which is it? Well, what they really told you is what the true idol is that they're worshiping. And it's not real. It's something they've concocted in their own minds. That's just an example, but it's a stark one of what can happen when people obsess about the problem. They do it with climate change. They're doing it with the Jews. They're doing it with sexuality. They're obsessing. See, we're addressing, not obsessing. Glory to God. That's right off the Holy Ghost presses. We are addressing these issues, not obsessing over these issues. Because you know what? We're obsessed with God. Hallelujah. You know, the song says, Jesus, you're the center of my joy. All that's good and perfect comes from you. You're the source of my contentment, hope for all I do. Jesus, you're the center of my joy. When I've lost my direction, you're the compass for my way. You're the fire and light when nights are long and cold. In sadness, you are the laughter that shatters all my fears. And when I'm all alone, your hand is there to hold. Jesus, you're the center of my joy. See, we're centering on Jesus, not on the problem, not on the people creating the problem. See, that's why we don't have these homicidal ideations where I need to kill somebody. We don't think that way because when you're centered on Jesus Christ, your heart is consumed with love. Your love for him, his love for you, and his love even for the people who disagree with you and don't know it, but actually oppose themselves. You know, you can be suicidal without trying to kill yourself. Because anytime you stand in opposition to God, you are being suicidal. Because there's only one place that can lead: death. And I'm not talking about just physical death here on earth. It could lead there too, but I'm talking about eternal death, eternal damnation, in a place where the worm does not die and the fire is not quenched, and there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth forevermore. So we don't allow ourselves to become obsessed with the issues because we're too busy obsessing over God. I will look to the hills from whence comes my help. My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. See, on the other hand, I mentioned being a fool is also hiding your head in the sand and pretending like these things don't happen. Folks, you know what? You know how the devil says, how the word of God says, the devil says a lot of dumb stuff. I'm not interested in what he says. How the word of God says in the book of James, it says that Satan goes about like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour, whom resists steadfast in the faith. You know, who's Satan trying to devour? You know what comes to me? You know what comes immediately to mind? Weakness. Satan is seeking to devour the weak. In 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8. Satan is actually looking to devour the weak, you think. Well, yeah. But you know who else he's looking to devour? The negligent, the inattentive, the unaware, the one who's just busy grazing without a care in the world, thinking, oh, there's no problem. There's no issue. Oh, my child will be fine in that government school. Oh, those friends my children are hanging out with, there's no problem. Oh, what my child sees on the telephone and, you know, watching, there's no big deal. There's no danger. There's no threat. Let's just graze here. You don't like it. There's no issue. Until your child comes home and says, my teacher told me that I'm a girl born into a boy's body. Until your son comes home from college and tells you, you know, we did some experimental arguments, and I'm convinced based on what we talked about, there is no God. Until your daughter tells you, well, yeah, I'm pregnant, but no big deal, I just have an abortion. Until you start hearing your child say things that you know you didn't teach them. Where in the world did you get that? Well, they got it from what they were doing when you weren't watching. When you were just busy grazing. There's no danger. There's no threat. Oh, but there is. And to walk circumspectly in the world is to walk wisely. And to not walk circumspectly in the world is to walk like a fool. So I don't know how well you did in 2025, but let's commit ourselves to doing better in 2026, because I got news for you. While I believe God's going to move mightily in 2026, the devil's going to try to move too. He's going to try some stuff in 2026. I mean, it's nothing new under the sun, but he's going to try some stuff in 2026 that's going to trick a bunch of people. Because that's his stock in trade. And the best way to not be tricked is to be keenly aware. Look, here is my quote for you for today. Be keenly aware of the world, but preoccupied with the word. Be keenly aware of the world, but be preoccupied with the word. You know, I got a notice, in fact, just yesterday, from my credit card company, saying that a charge was being put through, came close to $4,000, was being put through, and if you didn't make this charge, then push this button, and it will connect you to so-and-so, so we can get this straightened out. Now, folks, I'm telling you, this looks so authentic. It really did. It looked authentic. Even the return email address was one of the first things I checked to see. Well, because if it's coming from Bob302, you know that's not authentic. But if it's got the name of the company in it, you think, oh, okay. And it had an authentic email address in it. Just press this button. If you didn't put this charge through, we'll take care of it. And you know what I did? I didn't press any button. I picked up the telephone and called my credit card company and said, I just got an email and I want to check and see, is it from you? And they checked my records. They said, no, we didn't send you anything like that. And no, you don't have any charges pending like that. I said, well, I didn't push anything. They said, good, don't. You're a smart man. They said, you did better than a lot of our customers do, because they push those buttons and before you know it, they've given up all of their sensitive information, thinking they're getting themselves out of trouble and they're getting themselves into trouble. Now, you know why I did that? Because I'm keenly aware of the potential danger of these phishing expeditions that people go on trying to find the vulnerable, the unaware, the negligent, the naive, right? Because if you got a credit card and you can put that kind of money through in your credit card, you're not weak, at least in the financial sense, right? I mean, you got a credit card, so you're doing relatively okay. They're not trying to pick out people who don't have anything. They're trying to get to people who they think have got something. But if you're naive, you can get gotten, even though you're not that weak, but you're just not aware. So you don't want to be unaware. You don't want to be obsessed with what the world's doing. You don't want to be unaware. You want to walk right down the middle of that road, be keenly aware, but be focused on God. You know, God is not concerned about a popularity rating. God is not concerned about being outsmarted or being outdone. You know, God is not, by the way, God is not shocked by any of the news that comes out. I mean, God stands above all of that. And when you stand with him, you can stand apart from all of that in the world, but not of the world. We know what the world is saying, but we're believing God. Because we know the world is probably 99% of the time lying. Or at the very least, manipulating the truth to get an outcome that they desire. But Jesus is giving us the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. And when you know the truth will make you free. So as we leave 2025 and enter into 2026, I encourage you, my brothers and sisters in Christ, I want to read it just like it says it. Walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time. See, when you stay focused on God, you are redeeming the time, because the world wants you focused on evil, because the days are evil. Well, folks, that's going to do it My last program, my last podcast of 2025. I'm so grateful to all of you. God bless you for your prayers, for your support, for all that you've done to encourage me. I am so grateful. And I'm so gratified to think, as I've met many of you, that I've been an encouragement to you as well. Well, I don't know what 2025 was like for you, but my prayer is that 2026 is going to be the very best year you've ever had. 2026 is going to be the year of the fix. God's going to fix some things that have needed fixing for quite some time, maybe. And we're going to keep our eyes on him, not on what the devil's doing. We're going to see what the devil's doing now, because we don't want him to be able to sneak up on us. We're going to keep our eyes on God, on his word, on what he is doing, what the Holy Spirit is doing. Because we know therein lies true victory. The word of God says, come out from among them and be separate and touch not the unclean thing, says the Lord, and I will receive you. And you shall be my sons and daughters, and I will be your father, says the Lord. I will be a father to you. We're going to follow our Father. We're going to follow our Lord and Savior. We're going to follow the Holy Spirit, because we know he's always going to lead us the right way. And the world is always going to lead us the wrong way. So in the meantime, as this year ends, 2025 ends, and 2026 is about to begin, you know what to do. Stand up, step up, speak up, and refuse to back up. Because we cannot be defeated if we will not quit. Because we are on God's side. God bless everybody, and Happy New Year.